Thanks for flying Southwest, and we hope to see you back real soon.
Very, very, very happy that the best sport in the world is back in season.
Feels good every time. Every spin, I screamed louder.
Bro, I know we're all football guys and football guys, guys.
Yeah, I'm a football guy.
Jordan dropped Marcus last week, so.
Oh, God, Jordan!
I have a lot to say about this.
So, this is the best time of the year for us.
Psych!
Finally, the time has come. It feels like forever, but no, it was just 2 days between shows for us as we kick off. The second half of our matchup previews, but we do have a big guest on the line with us tonight. So we finally complete our tour, I guess you could say, of getting all 12 members of the pod of the league onto the pod this year. As we welcome onto the pod a man who's been blown off to do a world tour, a musician, a fantasy magician, and the star of Portland Placer Thing, DB Stewart Duncan. Welcome onto the pod for the first time this year. How you doing? How's it been?
Thank you for having me. It's been crazy, as you witness. It's been weird, all sorts of weird, crazy, but a lot of fun. I guess would be the best way to describe the past couple months.
Yeah, I you've been all over the place and releasing music and working on albums and DFI and DB Stewart, and then you also made an appearance on. Is it public access television in Portland? Because we watched it on a Twitch stream, which was very interesting. But is that show actually on TV in Portland? Portland Placer Thing was the name of the show that Duncan as DB Stewart performed on last week, which you were phenomenal, by the way. I'm really sorry for making things incredibly awkward by Bree texting Andrew as Rick Nodgers that I was asking about your anxiety. I think that did kind of make things a little bit weird. But what was going on? How did all of that come about?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. To answer your first question, it is actually on TV. It's Channel 22 in Portland, and that show is every first Wednesday of the month.
Okay.
And yeah, they've got a public access show that's been running for 4 years now, believe it or not.
Wow. So that show is as old as the pod?
Yes, that is correct.
Wow.
So the way that came about was the host actually saw us play in Richland, Washington, like the Tri-Cities area, when we were on tour. Her band opened up for us, and they're like this very theatrical, almost like it's like math rock theater tunes. Is the best way I could describe it. But that was how she met us, and we exchanged info, and she said, you know, if you ever find yourself in Portland, I have a TV show that you should totally come on. And we got the Portland gig, and I was like, all right, let's do this, and had no idea what I was getting into. And I showed up the day of, and they were like, yeah, normally we write sketches, but we didn't have any ideas, so we're going to play board games and talk about depression. And I was like, that is quite the audible from a sketch show.
Wait, there.
Good.
Their backup plan, okay, because I thought this was a show, because they very much seemed like it was a show of, hey, we're, like, that was their thing, is they always have a topic, they talk about it, and then they play board games while it's happening, and they cycle through the board games kind of thing. They actually put other effort into that show?
Yeah, that's what they said, and the camera guy was talking to me, and he was talking about, oh, you know, it'd be great to get other guests, et cetera, et cetera, and I was like, yeah, you know, I've got a whole network of people that would love to make TV appearances. That's certainly a thing, because also what they do is, when you are on public access, they can't promote anything, so they're not allowed to say, go see this show or check out this band. They can only give their own personal viewpoints, if you will.
Right.
But because of that, the way that the value for me was, they were going to cut up the performances and just put a nameplate on them, and public access is just running constantly. So randomly, as they're going through content, they're just re-airing stuff. So the idea being that the 2-3.5 minute performances will now be airing basically at random on public access on Channel 22 in Portland. So I was like, great. Folks can stumble across me, somehow, I've just got to go down there and do it once. I had no idea what the format was until I got there. And then, of course, finding out that it was going to be board games and depression talk, I was like, oh, either this is going to go really swimmingly because they've like heard my music and what the EP was about, or it's going to be really uncomfortable. And I think y'all saw that it was kind of the latter. But you tuning in, and I didn't think anyone was going to watch, and with the comments coming out, I was trying so hard not to laugh in the corner because I also didn't realize until we launched that they had me in the very corner of the main shot. So I was there just trying not to laugh while I was hearing everybody's names and like trying to figure out who was who.
That I don't know if there are Emmys for public access television, but I think you should get an Emmy for that performance because their lack of effort into what they were going to do and the lack of disconnect between the producer being like, hey, I saw this guy, I want to have him on our show, you guys should like read into him, and then being like, ah, our plan this week was board games, I don't know.
Like, yeah.
That's such
it was something.
Oh my goodness. Well, you're truly a champion for that. So thank you, and congratulations for now randomly being on public access television every once in a while. That must be very cool.
Yeah. Always been a dream of mine.
So I believe you also have a game related to this appearance on Portland Placer thing. Not that we do free ads or free public or what is it, promotions or whatever.
Yeah. So, hey, I appreciate you guys watching that. I don't know how to describe it, but it was hilarious and also very flattering that you guys took the time, because I think like half the pod at some point has witnessed some portion of it. So this is an ode to that, and this segment is Portland Faker Pod. So I'm going to give you a quote, and you're going to see if it's from Portland Place or Thing, you answer Portland. If I just made it up, it's fake, or if it's pod, it's someone from our podcast said this. So I'm just going to give you a quote, and you try to tell me which of the options it is, and bonus points, I guess, proverbial bonus points if you can guess who said it.
All right, I'm very down and excited for this game. Let's go.
Yeah, this is fun. So, I got to take like a deep dive and just listen to some podcasts, and we say some whack stuff. Those are pretty fun. Anyways, so the first quote I'm going to give you is, you got to put up with some suckiness before you can have some nice things.
Oh, no. Oh, that could be all three. I'm gonna go with PDX on that one. I think that sounds like something that was said on the show.
You are correct. Oh. That was the host when you guys started commenting, asking me to play another song, and someone said that they suck, and they said, we know we suck. We have to put up with some suckiness before you can have nice things. So I was trying so hard not to laugh, but also not make noise because there was a mic right in front of my face. Because one time I started laughing and they literally was like, hey, there's some noise. Is that one of you guys? And I was like, oh, that's me. But they had no idea it was me. So I was like laughing. All right. Next quote. I used to be a mug boy, but now I'm a Barks bud.
What was the last part? I used to be a mug boy and now I'm a what?
And now I'm a Barks bud.
Pod?
You are correct. That was Jordan discussing root beer with you, week 14 preview of last year, so December 5th.
Whoa! You went very deep on the pod.
Yeah, so used to be a mug boy, but now I'm a bark bud.
I think I remember power ranking sodas with Jordan last year. That makes a lot of sense.
Yep. Yeah, there was some heated stuff over Dr. Pepper and all that. But so the next quote I've got for you was, this after my grad party, I was dying in the bathroom. I don't remember that very well.
Pod. I think that sounds like a story I've shared where I was, very hungover after my graduation party and I missed like a whole morning of football.
You nailed it. This was you on the pod September 30th, 2016, week one matchup.
Wow. You really took a deep dive into all of this.
Yeah, dude. I went for some deep cuts.
All right. That's going to be very funny to see the analytics and the number of podcasts listened to. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, so that one was Duncan. They're very cool.
Yeah. Next quote, want to come over? We can order Pizza Hut, a few liters of Coke, and gallons of salt.
I'm leaning fake or Portland. I think I'm going to go fake, though.
Damn, dude, you're 100%. That was loosely based on a text Andrew sent me after watching Portland play your thing. But you were correct, it is fake. It was like 10 o'clock or something, and I was just getting ready to pack up, and he was essentially saying, dude, if you want to crash for the night, it's really late. And then clearly he pulled that because that guy was talking about eating Pizza Hut four times a day. And the depressing food segment.
Oh, man. Yeah, that. I guess my guesses at this point were just kind of more or less playing the game of what order you would put them in, and I figured I was due for a fake one, and now that I've hit all three, now I'm completely lost. I have no idea which one any of these could be.
Well, that's good, because we've got two more.
Oh, boy.
So, okay, in my mind, I'm eating Cocoa Pebbles, put the water in, and heat it up so it's hot cocoa.
Oh, I remember that. That's Portland. That was the host lady, I guess. I'm trying not to say the bigger lady, but it was her. I'm pretty sure I remember her saying that. It was very dramatic.
Yeah, very true. It was just funny though because it also made me think of the Barks quote. I don't know why. I was like, this sounds an awful lot like the soda debate, which is actually how I went and found it.
Very
but,
nice.
Yeah. So we got a quote here. So what kind of bees? Are we talking worker bees, honey bees? What do you got?
That's the pod, right? That's got to be the first appearance of Sir Nigel Thornberry. Beery.
It is actually fake.
What?
Yeah, I made that up.
Oh!
But I had to stump you once, but that was all. Thank you for playing Portland Faker Pod.
Wow. All right. That was some deep cuts on the pod quotes as well. So very, very good. You got me there on the last one. That
yeah.
Man, now I'm mad. Now I didn't get 100%. Come on.
Almost.
All right.
Nobody's perfect, Rick. It's all right. We got years of podcast footage to go through.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you for the fun game. Time to get to the matchups. Thursday night action is underway. We're at the 2-minute warning. If you're DVRing the game and you want to watch along with us, we'll start with the matchups here with Tim, who is 3-7 versus Jordan, who's 4-6. That's the Kraft Bunny Ranch versus Unitas Arab Emirates. Tim has slowly been falling down the standings this year. He is on his second 3-game losing streak of the season and has himself tied for 10th place, or last place, but is in 10th place on points scored. Last week, he got Davante Adams back, and he was his leading scorer, but he still took an L. Jordan's death lineup has indeed been killing him this year. He made the switch, dropping Lev Bell to his bench and didn't even break 100. As he was also let down by his Seahawks on Monday Night Football. And let's not forget, Cooper Kupp had 0 receptions for 0 yards for 0 points. This week, Jordan is without his C stack, and Tim is without his pack stack, leaning on a Sam Darnold at quarterback. Barf. Early in this one already, Jordan is up 6-4, had a touchdown snaked away by a replay review, and then Baker Mayfield. Tim is at -1, so already a good start. For him there. I think the strength of this matchup is in the wide receivers. Which group of three do you think has the bigger advantage here?
Yeah, I mean, what we're seeing so far, I'm liking Jordan just for boom potential. And he's got, I mean, John Brown's not wonderful, but he's going up against Miami, who makes everybody look good. But it's kind of, they're kind of evenly match as far as opponent rankings go, which is probably how I would determine who I think is going to win. Where I think actually Tim has the slight edge. He's got, you know, the 21st, 26th, 24th defenses against
wide receivers, whereas Jordan's got, of course, Odell going up against Pittsburgh, who's been pretty decent, middle of the road, and then Cooper Kupp going up against Chicago. So I don't know why I actually said that they're evenly matched. Tim certainly has the advantage there. Odell's having an all right game though so far, so I feel like if he could pop off, that would help out. But yeah, I'm thinking Tim's got the advantages again. I'm just always going over opponent ranking. And that said, Chris Godwin is Tim. I don't love Chris Godwin, but that's because I'm biased too. I have Mike Evans, so I'm just banking on them going to him the whole time.
Fair enough. At least you've got more of a legitimate reason to not like Chris Godwin. I just dislike him because Fronick likes him too much. So at least you have a fantasy reason just for this year. I've been on the anti-Chris Godwin train for far too long.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning of the year, I hated him so much when I was like, oh, great, I got Mike Evans. And then he was the first two games took all the targets, and Mike Evans put up, I think, 14 points in the first 2 weeks or something. It's been better since, but
right,
yeah. No. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think it would have been a lot nicer for Jordan to get the big start if Odell had gotten into the end zone, because now Cleveland is ahead, and I feel like their game script is going to be kill the clock with the run. They've got Nick Chubb, who's been a monster. Kareem Hunt is getting a ton of playing time as well. So I feel like in the second half of this game, Odell's targets may go down a little bit. They're probably still going to, well, I guess his targets won't go down. I think they're still going to try and feed the ball to him, but I think the second half of this game is going to be all about time management. The biggest question I think is going to be is when Cooper Kupp gets his next reception, because he's going on 2 weeks without one at this point if you include the bye, which of course I will to make Cooper Kupp and Jordan feel a little bit worse. That's 2 weeks with 0 points out of Cooper Kupp, technically. And the Bears defense, extremely strong front seven. The Rams are lacking a center. I think he went down last week, and their O-line isn't great. So the passing game revolves around a lot of movement, a lot of this, a lot of that, try and, you know, flashbang, confuse you, and then use the running game and play action to counter off of that. They have no running game. They have no play action. Nobody's biting on the movement and the fun, and it's making all of the Rams look a lot worse. I don't see them bouncing back against the Bears, so that's going to be really interesting. Running back wise, Lev Bell and Tevin Coleman should be pretty fine. With Chris Carson on bye, I think he's rolling pretty good there. Plus, you've got Melvin, if you wanted to play, which he's going to play him, and Melvin's been getting a lot better as well. For Tim's side, his team is just like really lacking that running back too. He's got a lot of backups in his team. It really hurt when he lost Kerryon Johnson. And I think the Chris Godwin, his wide receiver setup is going to be really interesting. I can't really trust Demaryius Thomas. I don't see that working out very well. Debo Samuel is an interesting play, but like the Niners they're a very run heavy team. So I'm not sure how that's going to work out. Tampa Bay, New Orleans in Tampa Bay might be a shootout. I think it was like that last year. I think normally the games in the dome end up being more shootouty. And Curtis Samuel should have a decent game as well. So there's the potential that it's close, and I think both of these teams missing their, I guess, collectively the four best players that you would want to have kind of does level the playing field. But I think Jordan's just got the slightest of slight advantages.
Yeah. You're telling me you don't like the Sam Darnold, Demaryius Thomas back? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, and actually, I've just now realized that is a stack. So if Tim's going to roll with a stack, I guess it's good to have one. I don't know. It's the quarterbacks. I didn't realize that we were all hoarding them, or it's either we're all hoarding quarterbacks, and that's, you know, a little interesting. Or also, there's only like three good quarterbacks, and they're on rosters and they're not moving. And basically, two of the three good quarterbacks are on a bye this week, and I think Fronick has the other one in Lamar Jackson. Everybody else is just a complete crapshoot. So yeah, maybe Sam Darnold has a good day. I don't know. They're playing the W word, R words. Sure, they could have a big game.
Yeah, it was just funny to me that being a New York Jets back. I don't trust that. Yeah, it doesn't matter to me that Washington middle of the road. I don't really like that. And Debo's, yeah, I agree with you. I think Jordan's got the edge as far as his talent. The more I look at, I was looking at opponent rankings at first, but I'm looking at the lineup, and it's just not lovely. Especially because Debo Samuel, the only way I could see someone really popping off actually is Debo Samuel if George Kittle's out and Emmanuel Sanders. Because when they did play, when San Francisco played Arizona 2 weeks ago, they did go full air raid. And I think Garoppolo put up like 4 or 5 touchdowns or something like that and threw for 300 plus yards. So if they're hoping to maintain that game plan, that said, like you were saying, they're such a strong run team. I think if their primary receivers are out, they're just going to go with the run. But
yeah,
I'd like to see a shootout. It's way more fun, but yeah, I don't think they're really relying on Debo.
No, that's a good point. And I guess Kyler Murray, the second time around, he's on a bit of a heater. So I guess Jordan's lucking into Seattle's bye coming at the right time. Wow, Kyler Murray is the number 5 fantasy quarterback this year. That is something I just learned right now. I guess he's thrown for. He's kind of had his weeks where he's okay, and then he goes off for a ton of yards, a couple touchdowns, some rushing yards in there, and then he had a 2 week stretch where he put up a combined 17 points, but he's gone for 23 and nearly 27 last week, throwing for 325 yards and 3 touchdowns. So he's on a bit of a heater, but the San Francisco defense is a hell of a lot stronger and better than the Tampa defense that he torched last week. So I would think some regression is in line for Kyler Murray, plus the second time he's playing the Niners, they're going to have film on him. It's on the road. The Niners are strong. They're actually putting fans into Levi's Stadium. So I really think everything's going to be a bit of a wash here, and then the biggest advantage comes from Jordan with his stack of 3 monster running backs, and I think that's what gets him the win.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if he's protesting, but he's got the empty kicker slot, so I'm curious to see if he's going to pick one up.
I think he's waiting to see if T.Y. will or won't play, and if T.Y. gets dropped to out, I think he would he would just move T.Y. to his IR and then pick up the kicker. Or maybe he drops Kyle Allen. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, he's got an open roster spot. His kicker spot's just empty.
Yeah. No, he's got the full roster. I don't know why he picked up Kyle Allen, though. Maybe he's trying to decide between the two. If he's really scared of the Niners defense, I think that would be why, is to have a choice between Atlanta's bad defense and with Kyle Allen as opposed to Kyler Murray, who's good going up against a tough defense. So that I would think that would be his only play there, or his reasoning behind it.
Are you talking about QBs?
Well, no, I'm trying to think of the player that Jordan could drop to pick up the kicker, and I think Kyle Allen would be that guy. He would drop Kyle Allen to pick up the kicker.
I don't think he needs to drop anybody because the slot's literally just open. So wouldn't he be able to just, never mind.
No, he's got the full bench.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I was like, no way, it's open, but I didn't realize that the bench spot was technically one more than I had. Yeah. Huh, interesting. So, I had Jacoby. I was just nervous with the MCL sprain that they were talking about, so I dropped him. But I'm not thrilled. Well, we'll talk about my matchup later, but I'm not thrilled with my QB situation this week. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think Jordan's going to take it.
All righty. To our next matchup, Andrew is 6-4 versus Brandon, who is 3-7. Melvin Ingram versus Mike Reykjavik. Andrew got a win last week over Tim and then got a, thanks to a big week from Amari Cooper, to seal it, but was nearly let down by his Saints stack as they got clowned by the Falcons last week. Brandon, in a real shocker, lost to Scott in a poop burner of a matchup. It was the 1st-85 ended up winning it. Lamis Winston and Robert Woods and Josh Jacobs all got into double digits. Nobody else scored higher than 5.9. Brandon now stuck in the muck right at the bottom of the standings this week. Both teams are going pretty okay surviving on the byes, and there's a lot of online for these two teams. Andrew by far has the stronger team on paper, potentially in the running in the bye if a couple results go his way, and Brandon is looking to not be in last place this week, where there's a very slim, a medium chance that Scott gets another win, and that could knock everybody down a whole run, which would just be the shock of all shocks. Which team do you think is more desperate for a win here? Who's got the edge?
As far as more desperate, I think it's absolutely, it's got to be, I almost said Rick, and I'm like, no, it's wrong. Brandon. Yeah, I just think fighting for the bottom. I know how awful that feels, and Andrew's just got the team to put up massive numbers, and he's sitting pretty in, like, I mean, everybody's sitting pretty in fifth or whatever, but yeah, I think Brandon's got to scoop up some wins here soon and just start digging himself out, at least get to the top of the consolation bracket. But yeah, as far as who's better equipped this week, I actually think I really like Andrew's team, which feels weird to say because I know he's been getting some hate on the pod, but I'm looking at the lineup and I just trust the team a lot more. I'm actually surprised that they're only 5 points apart, but Juju's not having a great game. He hasn't been getting the ball much at all. Of course, they're going to have to come out firing in the second half, but there's a good chance he doesn't even get double digits there.
There's actually
there's
a very small chance that he gets to double digits because Juju took quite the nasty hit and was walked off the field before halftime. So there's the
I missed it.
Yeah, so there's the possibility that he just has to rely on James Conner at this point. Andrew, with down 5.2, has a 56% chance of winning, and getting Juju knocked out after only two receptions is certainly no way to try and get a win. Not that Brandon told Juju to get a concussion or anything.
Yeah, I must have missed that. I literally have the game up on the left side of my screen, and when I was switching windows, I must have just missed the hit or whatever. But, yeah, then I really don't like Brandon's chances. I think Andrew's going to take this, especially with Drew Brees and Kamara going up against that Tampa Bay team. They're just going to obliterate them. I think both of them could have massive 20-plus point games pretty easy. Especially if they go up early, that Tampa Bay pass defense is so bad. And the rush defense is not good either. I know that they're ranked, sixth or something like that. But in reality, it's just because everyone's throwing on them. They have, the least rush attempts against because people are just airing it out and tearing them up. So I think Andrew is going to run away with this one. With Juju out and James Conner's not looking good. So,
yeah, go the hell, auto update. Before, writing up my notes and everything pregame, I was thinking, okay, Brandon, might have a chance here. He's got a solid option with Auden Tate. Tommy Lauren is coming back from the W Words R Words bye. They're taking on a bad Jets team. That might work. Yet Jameis Winston's got two great receivers to throw to in a game that's going to be a shootout. And now it's looking like, unless James Conner catches a boatload of passes in the second half of this game, it's not looking very good for him because he needs a lot out of Robert Woods, who does have the boom potential with Brandon Cooks out again. But yeah, Andrew's team, from top to bottom, I would worry fantasy-wise about Drew Brees being viable. I think Tampa Bay is a fine matchup for him, but long-term, with your quarterbacks being him and Phillip Rivers, who are both a couple of older guys who are starting to show the signs of regression and not playing their best, that's my only worry. But again, this week Drew Brees is a fine play. Kamara should have a big week. Indy should just run the ball a shitload with Marlon Mack. Andrew's team, yeah, he should be able to run away with this one pretty easily.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the only thing that might make Andrew a little bit nervous is that his matchup is going to come down to Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry on Monday night, and that game against Kansas City is probably going to be pretty high scoring as well. If he's for some reason behind and it comes down to Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry, you're relying on Chargers to win you a big game, and that could be the only thing, but I don't see that happening with the rest of his players that he's got. I've got Andrew in a pretty easy one here. I'll cut that.
I like the Josh Jacobs, Darren Waller mix. So they've been fun to watch. Not that I think they're going to save him, but I have them both of them in a different fantasy league, and it's been lucrative.
We don't talk about different leagues on this pod, so that'll be a dollar. If you could Venmo me, you're fine. Thank you. Last up on our matchups here is Luke, who is 9-1, versus Duncan, who is 7-3. That's DeOcean Jackson versus Mount Baker's Mayfield. Finally, the matchup of the week between two of the top three teams in the league. Luke, last week got three big weeks from Dalvin Cook, Dak, and the Ravens, all went over 23, and he shut down the haters by putting up a big score and a big win over a team on paper that is pretty strong, although JoJo'd himself as well. On the other hand, we have you, Duncan. You had one of the smelliest smelly butt scores we've ever seen in quite some time with a 65.8.
Smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt, smelly butt.
All Monday.
Smelly butt.
It was fitting, and I think I know what the
smelly butt.
Hold on.
Luke kind of called it out last week.
Smelly butt, smelly butt.
The biggest Seahawks fan he knows, and I
think. Yeah, that's one smelly butt. Your team sucks.
Oh, man. Okay, producer's error there. That's a fine for me as well, so our dollars cancel out. I didn't have the pod that I was playing that sounder from in the key that you were hearing everything from. So everything you were saying, no one could you won't be able to hear on the pod because the smelly butt sounder was playing. So go ahead now and defend yourself as I finish up. Jimmy G and Mike Evans were your two players that got over 10. They combined for 20.2, which was 30.69% of your team's total. Nice. Emmanuel Sanders went down. There was no George Kittle. And Mike Baghdad Dadgley was a field goal away from being your third highest score. So go ahead and tell us about your smelly butt and how it was predicted.
Yeah, I think there's a culmination of reasons for it. The number one being that I put four Niners on my roster. So
there's a mini segment of never trust the Niners. And I
owe an apology both to Luke and the Niners and the Seahawks organization, because I really do believe that I was being punished as a huge Seahawks fan for putting that many Niners on my roster. And at some point, the bubble's got to burst. So the blasphemy that was, you know, Mount Baker's Mayfield doubling up from two Niners to four in a single week, I think I disrespected my team. And then it was just completely appropriating what I thought was a great Niners offense for my own game. So they were never mind to own. I disrespected their org, their fans, trying to reap the benefits with no intention of supporting the Niners long-term ever. Still wanted them to lose, obviously. But the Seahawks defense looked really bad going in, and I had no idea, obviously, that they were going to be hurt. So with Sanders and Kittle out potentially this week, too, I think it's actually fair, Rick, that me and you got to make this right. So with my official apology to the league, I think we should remove them from my team and replace them with Travis Kelce and Michael Thomas. And before you say anything, I know it comes off as extreme, but I've been thinking about it long and hard, and it's a concession I'm willing to make to get the Niners off my team. I think the only fair option.
No, that's a fantastic point. Yeah, so Jimmy G, Emmanuel Sanders, George Kittle, straight up for Michael Thomas, Zach Ertz, and then Dak Prescott, right? Or would you want Matt Ryan?
Well, probably Dak. I think we just got to cancel the whole waiver trade process and just do what's right and make those swaps. And I think everyone will end happy.
I see no flaw in that. I'll get right to it after I post the pod tonight. So, Luke, I guess if you could email me your reaction to this forced-upon trade, which indeed is not being forced upon you because of circumstances of, you know, it being an apology, and you have to accept his apology by accepting this move that I, the Rictator, am putting down upon you. So I guess before we make the roster change, we can go over the matchup here as well. Outside of your three 49ers, you also have a league-high two Dolphins on your bench, possibly Emmanuel Sanders and George Kittle playing, but they are doubts for the week. And Luke just about has his strongest team that he can put out there available for him to play. He's very good. It's why he's 9-1. Big matchup this week. A chance for you to let everyone else get a game closer to catching Luke. I know Pip is probably rooting for you very hard as well. Help us, DB Stewart. You're our only hope. What are your feels on this matchup?
I wish I had good news for you, but I think I'm absolutely fucked. I've been following the Niners more closely than I have ever in my entire life, and it's not sounding good on the Kittle front. I'm not going to go with Dweeby or whatever his name is again.
And yeah, the fact that I have two Dolphins is just really upsetting. I mean, they did fine for me. Devontae Parker's actually been pretty decent. He's like the only person that has hands on the Dolphins. But yeah, I mean, the projections what have me losing by 30 almost. Unfortunately, I think that's going to be a reality unless I can get one of those massive weeks out of Mike Evans. But I'm also confused. Did you watch the Seahawks-Niners game?
Yes, I did.
Did you see Sanders went out? It looked like he got like a slap on the rib pad, and then they were said he went out with a rib injury. I was trying, because my brother was like, oh, did you see that? He's out. And I ran it back to see what happened, and I couldn't tell how he hurt his rib. He was just running a slant route, and the defender looked like he had a little bit of a hold, and then he all of a sudden started holding his side and walked out.
Huh. I think I did miss that part of the injury because I've started a new thing where my matchup is Monday night dependent. I'd not watch the start of it and I just go grocery shopping. So you were texting me that Emmanuel Sanders went down and I was like, oh no, what does this mean? Like, does this somehow affect, you know, because I don't know, it had a play on my matchup too, but I didn't see actually what happened. So I did watch the game, but I watched the end of it. But unfortunately, I can't help you figure out what the hell happened with Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out because I've really enjoyed him. And he went off against Arizona 2 weeks ago. So I was like, yes, perfect. Now they've got Arizona at home. And so I think if he's healthy and George Kittle, because the two of them just had a day. At Arizona, that was quite fun. Kittle put up 16.9, nice, and Emmanuel Sanders went off for like 20 something. I can't even remember off the top of my head. Yeah, for 20.7. So I'm like, hell yeah! If I could get nearly 40 points between the two of them again, great. And now they're both hurt because of my team. So I've been a very conflicted fantasy and Hawks fan the past 2 weeks.
No, it's very fair. It's tough when you're trying to align your fandom or whatever. But when you do, I mean, look at it this way. You could have picked Seahawks, and then you would be in Jordan's situation where you're barely in the playoffs, possibly on the outside looking in. Or you could have 49ers in a, almost at this point have a playoff spot on lock. So, you know, you can win with 49ers and then you just take the league winnings and you buy a Seahawks t-shirt and then you always remember that, you know, the Niners won me this thing.
Yeah, totally. That's the thing is if they're healthy, I feel really good and about having a somewhat competitive matchup with Luke because, I mean, Arizona's defense is the worst against quarterback and tight end in the league. They're ranked 32nd, and Emmanuel Sanders, and then they're 24th against receivers, and it's just that shootout mentality. So if they're healthy, awesome. I think it'll be close, but if I have to pull in somewhere off the waiver wire, I don't like my chances.
No, yeah, it's very slim pickings out there. And looking at Luke's team as well, his big three, Julio Jones always is a monster against the Panthers. You've got Michael Thomas in the game that's already 55-54 against Tampa. Michael Gallup has been a very solid number two. There's a potential for a shootout in that game as well. Zach Ertz against New England, I think is maybe Zach Ertz and Zach Pascal are maybe the only two guys who probably won't go off for Luke this week. New England's defense after the bye is going to be really tough to beat. And I have no idea who's going to be starting at quarterback for the Colts, so it's hard to know which guy will be throwing the ball to Zach Pascal or trying to. Not to mention if T.Y. is going to play, that hurts Pascal's value as well. So Luke's team is just very strong. Again, still, it's Duke Johnson as his RB2, a guy who's splitting carries with Carlos Hyde. He's not a number one. He occasionally catches some passes here and there. It's his only weak spot on his team, really, because even if you throw in, you know, Sterling Shepard off of, if he ever gets healthy again, is a big help as well. Maybe Bobby Anderson or something like that. So Luke's team is very strong, and his big three have been carrying him. He's been playing the right quarterbacks at the right week. He's got a strong team, and I think unless your team is really more or less just being hurt by the fact that two kind of really big key players are hurt, and if you can't replace them, it's going to be tough to come out of this hole.
Yeah, I'm actually nervous because it's been kind of a skid. I don't know if it was not appearing on the podcast that eventually hurt me because I didn't, and I went on that losing streak, or just because I stopped doing my podcast, right? The last interview I put up, after that, I've gotten my last two losses since then.
Whoa.
All three losses have come from when I stopped my podcast for the year, so...
Wow.
I don't know.
That's podcast mojo on top of podcast mojo. So unless our bad voodoo was transferred away once Pip finally won, when he showed up on the pod, or it's the name change thing, yeah, there's voodoo going on here, man. You got
to
get back to what works.
Together like a bonus episode. Maybe it was having both have pods running at the same time because mine comes out on Tuesdays. Yours comes on typically Wednesdays. So... I'm wondering if the curse is that both pods aren't hitting in the same weeks anymore.
Wow, it makes sense to me. I don't see why it wouldn't be that.
Yeah, it's science.
But that's it for the picks here. I'm gonna go with Luke.
I would
like to be able to say, you know, that your team is gonna be healthy and it's gonna be better and it would be competitive. Because this may be a week to possibly take advantage of Luke with some weird plays going on at flex and his RB2. But his team is too strong. I think he gets the win.
Yeah. Do you think over under 30 points?
I would take, yeah, he wins by less than 30. I don't know if it's a runaway because he hasn't had a lot of those. I know he got one last week, but that was more or less because JoJo started all of the wrong guys on his team pretty much, and had a zero in there. So it ended up like 40 points or whatever. But I think you can keep it. It'll look competitive. It might not feel competitive, but like I'll read the score next week and be like, oh, that was closer than I thought it would be. He put up a good fight.
I sure hope so, because especially after last week, my tiebreaker is basically out the window as far as points scored. There's no way that I'm catching anybody that I'll be contending with in the playoffs. So, yeah, fall from grace.
All because of the podcast mojo. I'm looking up your schedule now to see. Let's see. So you Luke this week, and then at Tim and at Brandon. So you do have two guys at the bottom of the standings the next 2 weeks that you already beat, and you beat them pretty handily at the start of the year. So there might be a shot in there for you to still make a play at possibly a bye or maybe a three seed, or you end up where you want to be in the bracket.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm knocking on wood right now, but honestly, as long as I'm not in that consolation bracket, I'm happy. In there was heart-wrenching. So if I can avoid... That sounds like the least competitive stance ever of just not make the consolation bracket. Obviously, I want to win the whole thing, but...
No, I think you're...
God, if I somehow stumble into the toilet bowl with Scott again, I might have to retire.
I think with 7 wins, you should be pretty solidly a lock because you're only you're by points out of a bye, and you've got one game, you've got three games over Jordan, who is in 6th. So you would have to lose out, and he would have to win out, and then I'd have to deep dive into the schedule at that point. I would say playoffs are a lock for you.
You heard it here first.
I did it.
When I call you crying in a month because I'm in the consolation bracket, remember that you were supposed to switch out all those players.
as you're flying from Seattle to Miami and right back again, you'll be thinking of that trade that I never forced through.
Yep. To clarify, it's not a trade. It is simply a swap.
Oh, an apology swap. Okay.
Yes, apology swap.
Perfect. All right, so that does it for our matchups. I'm out of segments, but I believe you had a couple as well. So what was your segments here?
Yeah, so every time that I come on the pod, or even just in the season, I get like text from guys and like, oh, you should do this music thing, or you know, how are you going to incorporate music in? So normally I go the opposite direction. I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to do anything music related. But I came across an absolutely hilarious YouTube video, which was a compilation of NFL guys taking their shot at rap careers.
And so this is a segment that actually needs a name, but NFL players that rap. And I'm going to give you a quote from the song. I'm going to give you some bars. And I think we can go with, if you want to try and guess the person right out of the gate, awesome. Maybe we can start with position. We'll start with an easy one. Some of the lyrics I can't say because I would get myself into some heat, but I'll hint at them. So I'll say the lyric, and then you... Maybe I'll give the team. How about that? How's that sound? I'll give you the team and the lyric, and you tell me who rapped it.
Okay. Yeah, or maybe do division and then team, because just do team. I'm not going to try and pretend that just giving me the team would make it an easier answer. It won't.
Yeah. Cool. So we'll start with one that's probably easier if I give you the team, but it was too stupid not to throw at you. So this is during a full-blown rap feature, and this guy is on the Los Angeles Rams, and his line was, running back, yeah, I'm the best at that. Flip it, don't fumble that. You N-words are scared just like a cornerback.
That's got to be Todd Gurley, right?
Yeah, it was. Okay. I was in tears watching this because he was saying it dead seriously. Like, I was like, the best you could do is say your own position twice. I'm the best at that. Flip it. Don't fumble that. You're scared like a cornerback. And I was also like, how many times is he actually going up against a cornerback? If like a wide receiver was saying that, I'd be like, okay. I mean, obviously he's bowled over plenty of cornerbacks in his day. But yeah, that one made me laugh. This is a former Houston Texan, no longer in the league. Quote, I'm addicted to clubs and love and blood. That's all it was. Shit, I'm wasting my time. I'll be here when you're done chasing the views, drinking my booze.
Former Houston Texan. Is this player still in the league?
Not in the league. He has since retired and made an appearance on some reality TV show. I can't remember if it was Big Brother or if it was like an MTV ripoff, but some challenge show. Actually, I think it was The Challenge on MTV.
Andre Johnson?
No, but you got the first letter right.
I'm out of guesses then.
That was Arian Foster.
Oh, damn it.
I'm addicted to clubs and love and blood.
Oh, I totally forgot he has like a music career that he's like going all in with like his veganism and his Buddhism and whatever.
Oh, does he really? Damn.
I think
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm looking it up. He goes by his music is he's got to have a name, right? Or I thought he went. Oh yeah, he released his debut album Flamingo and Koval under the stage name Bobby Fino on Tidal. So yeah, he's
what?
Yeah, he's very into like holistic medicine and veganism and also marijuana. But I don't think those things are all related. And yeah, he's just like, I'm done with the NFL. I think his other big thing is he's like, I'm atheist and everybody's into God and that's not my thing, but I'm going to do veganism and I'm going to do rap. I think he's also Buddhist.
Well, that's definitely a way to differentiate yourself. What kind of rap do you do? I do vegan rap. That sounds like something you would order here in Seattle. That's probably on a menu, just vegan rap.
Yeah, he went became vegan in July of 2012. I just like to eat healthy, man. That whole vegan thing. A lot of people are really interested in my food. I've had meat since. I've said I don't eat meat anymore. I like to stay with the plant-based foods, but every now and then I'll eat meat.
Sounds like a lot of contradiction in that sentence alone. Yeah, I'm vegan, but sometimes I eat meat because I'm solely about being a vegan because I like meat. And had meat all my life.
But, yeah, he's an interesting character.
Yeah, man. So on this next one, this was a freestyle on the radio. This guy was rapping over the last episode. So my flow is pure gold. It's blank. Back on the mic. Suck the life out of the beat like it's lipo. Thought I was gone, but I'm never leaving. I'm forever eating. And he is on the Buffalo Bills.
Josh Allen.
Oh, I wish. Close.
Is it Frank Gore?
Nope.
I'm out of guesses.
It was Cole Beasley.
Whoa! Oh,
yeah, I'll send you
that's
this
right! I now remember somebody like has told a story or whatever about Cole Beasley's rap career. It started with the Cowboys, right?
Yeah, and he was in. And it's the most bizarre thing I've ever seen because I mean it's Cole Beasley, and the last episode beat comes in, and he starts rapping, and the radio DJ starts popping off when he starts rapping, which is kind of funny. But I also think he had the bars on his phone. I don't think he was actually freestyling. It looked like he was reading them off his phone. So take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I'm seeing the video. He's definitely reading off of his phone, but he's still got to, you know, power through and figure out the rhythm and the words and everything. So, okay, that's right. Cole Beasley is a rapper. Wow, that's what a callback.
Yeah, and he does have really good cadence. And if he wrote the bars himself, good for him, I guess. But
wow.
I got one more for you. It's super short, and I'm just going to set this up. This guy's on the New York Jets, and this line comes up while he's playing laser tag. But the line is, diamonds fresh out of the pool. And I spent 20 minutes trying to figure out what he was saying, and I still don't know.
It's Le'Veon Bell, right? I figured at some point he was going to come up because he's like actually, I don't think he's Dame Lillard good at rapping, but he's probably the second best athlete rapper. I'm not the person to make that qualification at all either. So that this needs to default to somebody else.
Yeah, there was a guy on the BET Cypher this year with Travis Thompson that was really sick. He was like an ex-NBA player that got hurt. And it was super surprising. I don't remember who it was. I'll have to see if I can find it. But fun fact. Oh, it was Iman Shumpert.
That got hurt?
So he's a rapper now.
Whoa, that's also a surprise.
He was on the BET Cypher this year with Travis Thompson, Cash Doll, IDK. And his Cypher was actually, I mean, he's a character. I mean, yeah, it was very strange to watch. I'll send you the video. But I don't have quotes from him because I just saw the Cypher like earlier today. But the way that this segment actually came about was I was trying to do a sister segment to Mike's Tough on Crime, and it was going to be rap lyrics about NFL player crime. So can you name the Eminem lyric referencing crimes by a former or a current football player?
First of all, that idea is very good, and if you need to collaborate with somebody on that to follow through with that segment, that would be great, because I am all here for it, especially when we get to the playoff season and the constipation talk is just completely worthless. That is a fantastic segment idea. And no, I probably can't name the NFL player, because I'm guessing, well, I guess Eminem's, he's still putting out music, because I would have thought it would have to have been like somebody who's crazy old or whatever, but I have no idea who he would be rapping about.
Yeah, so on his album Recovery, he has a song, Almost Famous, and the opening line is pretty vulgar, so cover your ears.
Okay.
It's, I stuck my dick in this game like a rapist, they call me Slim Roethlisberger. And I remember, as a Seahawks fan and hating Ben Roethlisberger, I always loved that line way too much. And so I need some help on research, but that was a brutal line, and I was like, oh, man, if there's got to be more lines about
NFL players that have done fucked up shit.
Yeah, I think I tried to do something like that on Steve's show one day where it was like the best song that references an athlete or something like that, or something along those lines of like which athlete is referenced by like the best rapper, or which rapper mentions ex athletes, or who, which rappers mention athletes the most. And there was like a, I think it was through like Rap Genius or Lyric Genius or something like that. And you can like search through and find all that stuff. So yeah, if you want to work on that project, by all means, please do that project.
Yeah. If anyone wants to do that with me, that would be a lot of fun. I think, yeah, that there's got to be way more out there. I only do that one, but I know right now, I know this is a football podcast, but I feel like Steph Curry gets mentioned all the time because everyone's in raps just dropping three-point lines. It used to be about dunking on people. Now it's just threes, and everything's like Curry with the shot.
I think
I've heard like 10 times in the past like couple months. But, yeah. So anyone in the league that wants to collab on that, let's do it.
All right. Do you have a second segment as well? Or did we cover both of those?
I have another loose Portland Placer thing one, but it's not. It's one question because I thought if we run out of time, what are depressing questions that make no sense to ask was the segment. So looping it back.
Oh man. Yeah, what's the saddest meal you've ever had is up there. That was a good one from whoever called in and asked it. I guess the other one is like what's the saddest thing you've ever done for money? But let's not go there.
They lied on that shit too. There's got to be worse things they did for money.
That guy's the big guy's probably done something for like a Domino's 50% off coupon that he's very ashamed of because it was only a 50% off coupon. But if he had done it for a free pizza, he'd have been fine.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But on that note of just really depressing questions that make absolutely no sense, what's the most depressing lineup decision you've had to make this year?
Oh, that's very easy. That was what I had to do last week, which was to choose between. Hold on, let me go to my roster. It was choosing between Alex Erickson and Allen Hurns as my wide receiver three.
Oh yeah, that's pretty brutal.
Yeah, anytime you can choose between a Cincinnati Bengal number three wide receiver and a Miami Dolphin number three wide receiver, you're just in a great spot.
Yeah, mine's not too different from yours. When I had Zeke and Ingram on bye, which was just bad, I picked up Mark Walton from Miami, who got me a solid, 2.5 points, and Wendell Smallwood to replace Zeke and Mark Ingram. And I didn't know Wendell Smallwood was on the Washington R-word. I honestly thought he was still third or fourth string on the Eagles.
Oh, no.
So that was pretty depressing.
Oh, jeez.
Nothing like ending on a low note, but that also was just really funny when I looked it up. I was like, what's the worst thing I've had? Oh, sweet. I had 6.5 points between my two starting running backs in place of Zeke and Ingram.
As soon as I was looking out, because I think it was Saturday morning, I'd seen that you had dropped Jacoby Brissett, and I was like, oh, that's a much better option than primetime Kirk Cousins. And then like 20 minutes after I picked him up, I got the notification, Jacoby Brissett has been listed as out. And I was like, oh, cool, that was a waste of an ad. Like, good thing it didn't cost me anything or whatever, so I was just able to pick him up. But then I was looking around at the wide receivers, and like Alex Erickson was projected like a ton of points, and I was just like, interesting. Okay, so Bengals, nothing to play for, new quarterback, show off the arm, a slot guy. Okay, could get a lot here. He had no receptions. He had 1.3 points because he went for a 13-yard run. And so I nearly plaxicoed myself by starting a bungle over a Dolphin, which is just about the dumbest thing you can ever say.
Yeah, that's a tough sentence that I did not think of here.
Yeah, you should be lucky. You only had one of those, and it was for one bad week that you could have just like punted on. It's totally fine.
Yeah, I was hoping if Darius Geis hadn't gotten hurt, that was my plan, was, okay, I'll have to pick up someone from the waiver wire, but Darius Geis will be my flex all year. He'll fill in for Zeke and or Engram when they're out. And then, I was like, oh my God, I don't know if my machine's behind. Did you see that hit on Deontay Johnson? Is that Deontay Johnson, number 18 on
yeah.
the Steelers?
Yeah, no, he that would be a targeting and an ejection in a Pac-12 game for sure. So already,
oh my God,
already not good that the Steelers are down Juju, but they've abandoned the run game so far, and now their pseudo step-in number one wide receiver is out as well.
Yeah, that was brutal. I haven't been paying attention. I turned around and saw him just getting lifed out.
Yeah, he was unconscious when he hit the ground. It's not a pretty sight. NFL football, come yeah. get some.
Oof. That was a yearly dose of CTE right there, my God.
Yeah, and I think on that sadder, more downer note, I think that's a good place to leave the pod. Thank you, Duncan, for finally making it on. We know you've been super busy with DFI and DB Stewart and your Made for Music podcast, which now will be coming back to get you on the podcast, The Positive Juju as well. So best of luck to you in your matchup this week, and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me as well.
Thank you for listening to the Semi Products Podcast. Be sure to tune in to KUGN 590 AM and 95.3 The Score FM in Eugene, or online at KUGN590.com and 953thescore.com starting at 3:30 on Saturday for all the pregame show coverage you'll need for the Ducks versus the Wildcats. As always, follow us on Twitter at Semi Products Pod, and go Ducks!
Follow the podcast on Twitter at SemiProDuxPod. Do your part to get this oddly specific podcast Twitter account to over 50 followers. Subscribe, rate, review.